You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 12 September, we've got local mining production data due 11:30. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Chantal Marks from FNB Wealth and Investments. Supergroup results, revenues up, but tough trading sees everything else lower. Kobus Lutz from Pan African Resources. Production higher, costs a little higher as well, but looking well positioned. And then Martin Ackerman from Citadel. Rand strength, so far we're one of the better emerging market currencies. Can we keep it up for the rest of the year? The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. WBHO is in a very good space, says their CEO. Myron Roberts deals with the challenge of servicing corporate debt in SA without those dividend flows from the now busted Australian operations. News 24, two-pot frenzy. SARS says withdrawals from retirement savings have topped 4 billion rand already. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 1.1%, NASDAQ up 2.2%. Over in the east, mostly green, Sydney's the exception, off a tenth of a percent, Tokyo up 2.8%, Hong Kong up a percent, and Tencent up 1.25%. Commodities mostly green, gold slipped a little at 2,542, Brent is 7092, platinum 962, and palladium 1,027. The rand is 1791, Bitcoin 58,200. Top 40 opening call, 940 points or 1.3% higher. A strong green open.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Chantal Marks, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Chantal, appreciate the early morning. We were on air when the Supergroup trading update came out. We had to learn about cabotage laws. It's kind of like the Jones Act in the US, and we're all now experts on flags for ships and crews, etc. But to the results, I mean, it was mid-range from what their update was. As I said, revenue was up, but lots is hurting that is just beyond their control. German economic weakness. We've got UK dealership issues, local infrastructure issues, a ton that really is beyond management's control.
Yes, and I think when you look at this result, you go through almost every single division and there's some sort of a challenge that is facing every single division. On the dealership side, we know that macros have been extremely weak, and that's an area that they're exposed to both in South Africa and the UK. Mm. And then you have generally weaker demand globally because of macroeconomic pressure. And that is, of course, going to have a knock-on impact on fleet management and logistics and almost every area of the market that this company is playing in. Because you have pressure on revenue, even though revenue increased, because you still have pressure and it's not very high, and you do have margin pressure because you're trying to win business in those areas, it does ultimately filter through to your bottom line. And they've also made a few acquisitions over the last few years. They used to have an ungeared balance sheet. There is some gearing there now. And with higher interest rates, interest costs increase as well. So it's a bit of a, it was really not a great result, but it does speak to just how poor operating conditions have been over the last 6 months.
And my sense was, and certainly management in their forward outlook were, I mean, they don't use the word cautiously, but reading between the lines, they're cautiously optimistic. Certainly locally, we're seeing some things improve. And they need, the German economy, I'm not sure how that's going to pan out going forward. But there is potential here. And what struck me was really good management. As you said, tough conditions, but it hasn't been fun, but they've kind of worked through it, I suppose, as best as they could.
Yeah, so I certainly think that there's some optimism due, particularly when it comes to dealerships, because I think you're going to, once interest rates start coming down, you're probably going to have consumer confidence lift first, and that should be quite positive for the dealership businesses. Just on that good management comment, I mean, if you look at Dealership South Africa, revenue was up 1.8%. Okay, that's not great. But in a declining market, and they saw an uptick in sales in both used and new vehicles. I mean, that's not something that we've been seeing from the other guys. But anyway, the dealership business, I think, will benefit quite quickly. I think fleet management will also ultimately pick up, hopefully, if we get a solution to the port congestion issues in South Africa, or at least get some reprieve, we could see them firing up there quite nicely as well. And then I think the only business that I'm really worried about at this point is Intime. That's the business-to-business logistics company in Germany. And management isn't particularly positive about that company either, because they took a big fat impairment on the assets of that business. So that's one area of concern. And then the other area that I looked into was the cash generation. So they had a big working capital outflow related to their fleet assets in this specific period. I'd keep a close eye on that. I think cash conversion is extremely important. And it's one of those things that you can just keep an eye on to make sure that the business remains healthy in that regard.
Yeah, I take your point on that. And of course, interest rates coming down helps them, and also helps their retail businesses as well in the dealership. We'll leave it there. Chantal Marks, Head of Research, F&B Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the early morning time.
The Property Pod.
The South African Property Owners Association convention took place at Sun City last week, with the who's who of the country's commercial property sector gathered for SOPOA's flagship annual event. The Property Pod was there, and in this week's episode on MoneyWeb, we feature three executives who were at the convention, including SOPOA CEO Neil Gopal, Durban Chamber CEO Palisa Pili, and newly appointed SOPOA President Itumeleng Motibeli.
The Property Pod.
MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Kobus Lutz, CEO, Pan African Resources. Results for year-end June, production up 6.2%, revenue up 16.8%, and earnings per share up 32.1%, and a 22-cent dividend. That's a ZAR dividend. Kobus, appreciate the time. We're seeing a lot of cost pressures globally in mining. You've largely managed to hold on to it. Your all-in sustained cost did increase. It was slightly above guidance, but you make the point that this really, in many ways, is at the core of Pan African Resources, which is, you might be mining mines that are 140 years old in Barberton, but you need to do it with a strong eye on costs.
Yeah, Simon, so we're quite sort of pleased with the performance for the year. And as you say, the teams definitely did very well in terms of managing costs, and will continue to do so. And really what is a huge positive for Pan African is our surface re-mining business. Ilikulu is our flagship, and there we're producing at $1,000 an ounce, just over. And then obviously we in the process now of commissioning Mintails, our new project, and we're budgeting for less than $1,000 an ounce all in sustaining. And South African miners are known generally for being expensive. It's not the case with Pan African. We can compete very well with the internationals in terms of the costs. And yeah, so that's great for us.
Yeah, and I mean, the gold is currently 2,500, so that's great. But we don't know where gold will be in a year or a decade, and it really is positioning the operation almost regardless of a gold price. If it's going to be 2,500, that's great. But if it's going to be 1,500, you need to still be profitable.
No, it feels like there's still quite a bit of sort of tailwinds for gold, interest rates are set to be cut, and obviously all of the uncertainty in the world, but we're definitely not banking on a $2,500 gold price. We're running our models at sort of $2,000 or less, and that's the great thing with our business. And the other thing is we have such long lives on our assets. We'll be going for many, many years.
Yeah, I want to touch on that. I went digging through your SAMREC compliant, but I'll come to that in a second. Net debt markedly higher, but that, my sense is, that's the Moholi project, the Mintails, which is coming on stream, any day now.
Yeah, we're not that keen on debt, but debt for the likes of Mintails is definitely makes sense. You know, this project, $2.5 billion that we've put into the ground in 14 months, and at the current gold price, it'll pay itself back in 2 to 3 years. And the life of Mogale is more than 20 years. So that's an exceptional project for Pan African.
How's developments at Evander Mines doing? You've got a couple of projects ongoing there.
Yeah, so, I mean, the obviously Elikhulu's running full steam, and that's great. And then the we've invested quite heavily in the, into the underground. And subvertical shaft was a bit delayed. It should be commissioned now in September. And that's pretty much doubles our wasting capacity at Evander. So we're quite excited about the future of the underground at Evander. Obviously, we're mining a number 8 shaft at this point, but there's also a huge opportunity at number 7, which is the Egoli project, which we'll bring to account in due course.
Is this, I mean, again, Evander is an old mine, and you keep on seem to be finding more and more that you can pull out of it. I mean, much like Barberton, I mean, that's the 140-year-old mine. I mean, Barberton is probably one of the oldest mines in the country. Is it scoped out? You talk around, you've got Samrek, some 30 million ounces. I mean, is there even more that you haven't yet got to?
There is a huge potential over the medium to long term. I mean, we're sitting this week just looking at some of the other projects at Evander. And, you know, some of these projects, if they were in other countries, would have been able to list them by themselves, and they could be quite attractive. And for us, it's a balance. I mean, we need to obviously reinvest in the business. Mm. We need to grow the business, which I think we're doing quite successfully. And then we need to continue to give returns to shareholders in the form of a sector-leading dividends. So that's the balancing act for us.
I take your point. I mean, you're pushing guidance up to between 215 and 225,000 ounces. As I said, I went and had a look at your Samrak compliant gold resources, 30 million ounces. It is about that, not getting it all out at once, as you mentioned with your Mintails. There's a cost, there's a good payback. It's that balance between getting it out the ground, being profitable, and the spend up front.
Yeah, 100%. Currently, the market doesn't give you any value or not a lot of value for optionality. So, I mean, that's fine, and we accept that. And that's why, you know, I think we've obviously very much focused on the year and now. And we're sort of very excited about the year ahead.
We've seen a couple of deals globally in the gold mining space. Do you look at that sort of thing at this point, or are you just saying, you know what, we've got enough at this point in time that we can work with? We don't need to do new deals, or do you have a look at some just in case?
Well, we continue to look at other assets and doing so. I think it's a good discipline because you also learn a bit about your own portfolio. But we're in a very fortunate position where we have such a lot of growth potential within our own business and portfolio. Mm. We don't need to go out and buy assets. And I mean, that's demonstrated by the lives of our assets. And the teams continue to innovate and come up with new ideas. I mean, the BTRP at Barberton, which was our first tailings plant.
Yeah.
We had 2 years left, and now we've had a relook, and we've extended the life to 7 years from tailings. And I mean, that's great for us. The limited capital and great cash flows for another 7 years.
Yeah, and as you say, working with what you have. We'll leave it there. Kobus Loach, CEO of Pan African Resources. Appreciate the early morning time.
My name is Farza Masani. I'm the co-founder and CEO of the crypto exchange Valor. This week I'm on the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast and exploring a somewhat philosophical subject. Is Bitcoin an instrument of freedom? And if so, what will that freedom look like? It's an important subject for all of us. We've got problems with our current financial system and society at large. Join us.
Don't forget, join me, Kieran Ryan, weekly on the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast. Listen on moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Martin Ackerman, he, of course, from Citadel. Martin, appreciate the early morning time. Perhaps one of the best indicators of positivity around our government of national unity, the disappearance of load shedding, is that our rand is doing really well. It's one of only 5 emerging market currencies out of 23 that's actually stronger against the dollar year to date. And I often think a country's currency is kind of how the rest of the world votes on that economy and country, and it really is reflecting in our rand.
Yes, morning, Simon. You're 100% right. I always say the currency is like the country share price.
Mm.
You know, it's a reflection of what's going on the ground. So if you unfortunately think back to those days of Steinhoff,
yeah,
the minute the market sniffed something went wrong, the share price reflected that. And same with the currency. So, you know, year to date, we are doing extremely well. So there is a message in there that the market is seeing some positives. It's not all South African-based, so we'll unpack it a little bit later, but it's definitely a reflection of some improvements on the local front. And then obviously just the sentiment still around the government of national unity, and that same kind of positive sentiment we still see in and all the other South African asset classes, you know, whether it's the JSE or even the bond market. You mentioned that we top three of the emerging market currencies year to date. Our bond market is top one in terms of returns generated, especially for foreigners. So all of that is in line with that positive sentiment that's been reflected by the currency.
You mentioned that. I mean, a lot of this is us doing the right things well. There are risks, and some of them are not our risks. Some of them are U.S. elections, wars in the Middle East and Europe, certainly creating geopolitical concerns, but also some volatility potentially.
Yes, I think, you know, most of the time, the rand is actually influenced by foreign factors. So we get this political overlay from time to time. And in a year like this, where we had a very important election, you know, that will have an impact. If you go back to periods like the Minister of Finance for a weekend, you remember those days, that had an impact on the currency. So those kind of extreme political events will certainly impact the currency over a short-term period. But then as soon as that political dust settles, then the market refocuses on what's happening globally. So, yes, at this point in time, you know, the rand really started to struggle going into the election. It probably started struggling with that Lady R announcement. Then the rand actually broke away, and we had that political premium built into the rand going into the election. Some of that's now being reversed, as there's hope that this new government will do the right things in terms of local policy. But probably in the next couple of months, that political benefit will settle and the market will refocus on the global factors. And there we are looking at things like who's going to win the US elections, because that is likely to have an impact on the dollar going forward. And on the other side of that coin, where the rand will be. Next week, we will hear about whether the U.S. is going to cut rates.
Yep.
Very likely at this point in time. That implies a weaker dollar. It's already in the dollar at this point. So that is supporting the rand as we speak. But if they continue that kind of policy and even increase or cut more than expected, you know, that can, again, give the rand a bit of a benefit. And then some of the other global factors are obviously China. You know, they're one of our biggest trading partners. We are a commodity exporter, so at the moment that's not really shooting out the lights. But in a scenario where China stimulates and commodity demand picks up, that can be quite beneficial for the rand going forward as well.
And looking to the end of the year, and there are a lot of moving parts out there. As you mentioned, a bunch of them are beyond our control. But, I mean, where would you expect the rand to sort of trade over the next couple of months to what we got just under 4 months to the end of the year?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's definitely at this point in time a lot of factors supporting the rand to get stronger. You know, we probably won't see whether the government of national unity will do their job by the end of this year. So that positive sentiment is likely to continue a little bit longer. From now until the end of the year, we've got the medium-term budget, which is always an important event. Unfortunately, you know, if we look at where we are, it's still going to be tough, but at least we've got the right people in control, so the message will be clear in terms of where we're going or where we're trying or where they're trying to go. So that might not be too negative despite the numbers being challenging. And then on the local front, you know, some things that we don't very often pick up is the fact that we've got a positive trade balance. So the lights are on for the last how many days? Which imply that there's a much less demand importing diesel, and our coal exports are picking up, so we're actually printing positive trade numbers. Now, that always supports the rand because we actually earn hard currency instead of paying hard currency. And that is, hopefully, if this continues with the electricity problem being under control, you know, that's a local factor that can definitely support the rand going into the end of this year. So I think the rand looking for a solid 17 handle towards this end of the year is very possible. But we also know that the rand is a, what do you want to call it, a risk-off kind of leading indicator. So if anything goes wrong in the world, whether it's the Middle East, US elections, you know, the rand can very easily take a lot of pain and go back to the 19. For now, I think what's in the pipeline, we are definitely looking for a solid 17 handle by the end of this year.
Yeah, and I take a point. When things go wrong in the world, the Rand seems to want it's liquidity, and we take the beating in that regard. We'll leave it there. That's Martin Ackerman. Citadel, appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. I forgot the poll for Kobus Lutz, Pan-African Resources, on those results. Are gold miners still worth investing into? Kobus seemed a little maybe not as bullish on gold as others, but there still remains a good story. And at these levels, 2,500, even at 2,000, which he suggested, some of these gold miners are very, very profitable. Have your vote, have your say. And yesterday I was chatting with Jimmy Moyaha around the AngloGold Ashanti deal to buy an Egyptian gold miner. We asked if you thought it was a good deal. Around 40% each said, yep, a great asset. And the rest were saying, oh, buying at the top. And the remaining of you were saying you prefer green fields. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Nicole Masekla, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Skulk low.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.